Now, we will notice that when we get to the chorus there, sopranos and altos are singing the first part of that. You see that? Do that, sopranos and altos, with me. God is love. Okay? And then the tenors and basses come in. As a song leader, sometimes guys will say, do I sing that? Because that's the sopranos and altos singing. You, the song leader, are singing the lead part, which is usually the soprano notes. I don't just hand it over. Right? All right, we'll let the ladies sing this because it's their part. I'm the leader, and I'm going to stay in control as the leader by singing with them. Now, I might soften down a little bit, but I don't want to lose control of it. I'll tell you, it happened to me one night with about 1,300 people, and I decided to let, well, it started off with the alto singing the melody, and then the tenors came in. And I just thought, well, I'm just going to let the altos have it. And I tell you what, I almost lost control of the song because they needed to hear the leader singing along with them. And I was able to get control of that and not let it become a train wreck. But anyway, I just want to say to the leaders, song leaders, when you're getting to the chorus there and you see that up there with where the ladies are singing, you sing with them because you're singing the lead part, the melody. All right, let's do that. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. And there are some times when I notice when I'm leading, if I hear some strong soprano and strong alto, I'll get them started and maybe let them go ahead. But I just don't want to abandon them. And so if I can come out, they'll come out and I may be able to back away. Same thing if I hear the tenors have a lead part, I'm gonna be right there with them because usually if they have the lead or the basses, they're carrying the melody part, the lead part. So I just, again, as a leader, sometimes you have to jump off of a part to another. Now I want you to look at this song now without any music or lyrics. Just look at the song like a songwriter would look at the music page. He's looking at this, and when you see these lines and spaces there, that's the grand staff. And, of course, the opening there between the five lines and four spaces on the bottom and the top, that's where the song, the lyrics are put, aren't they? That's where they have to be so we can follow and sing our part with the words. But it's called the grand staff. But let's build back on this like a writer would do. Going to put in the treble clef sign. That's where sopranos and altos are singing, along with the song leader up there. Then there's the bass staff sign right there. And then we're going to do this song in the key, a certain key, in this case, key of D. And then what is a key signature? What's the purpose of it? It's so that we can sing a song at a pitch that all four parts can sing together. If we ignore that and we just grab a pitch out of the air, what's going to happen? Song's going to be either too high or it's going to be too low. Sometimes you might just get lucky and get it right. But I don't rely on that. As long as I've been doing this, I want to be sure that I'm leading God's people in worship, and that means all of them. I'm leading God's people. And I'm involved in this as a worshiper as well. And so there we have the pitch for that reason. And then there's the time signature that we've been talking about last evening quite a bit about those numbers. And I told you, just ignore the bottom number right now. Just pay attention to the top number. If it's a two beat, or if it's a two on top, think and feel two beats. One, two, one, two. If you see a three on top, think and feel three beats. One, two, three. If it's four on top, think four beats. One, two, three, four. And again, fellas, as soon as you can learn the beat patterns, that's even better. But if not, and you're up there just doing this, at least beat with something that people can feel the rhythm of the song. And just do that. When I get off on my beat pattern, that's what I do. Sometimes I'll be in a song leading it, and it's a four-beat song, and I'm leading in a three-beat pattern. I'm like, what in the world am I doing? And so when I look down and see it, I just keep doing that until when? When can I get back on track? When I get to what? A measure bar, and I, to the right of it, I get back on one. on that first beat. What is the strongest beat in the beat pattern? Whether it's 2 beat, 3 beat, or 4 beat, beat 1. And not only do you want to have a good strong beat here with your hand, but even with your voice. Rhythm in your voice along with rhythm in your hand, that people can follow that and they will not drag a song. Now, let's put in the melody part, the soprano part here. And if we were familiar with this, with the shapes here, we could sing that like, do. Can y'all help me out here? What's the next one going to be? It's a mi. Where's that sound? Do. Mi. What about the next one? Fa. So. La. Ti. Do. Good. That's good. All right. Come, let us all unite to sing. That's the soprano, the lead part, the melody. That's what we're most familiar with. Let's put in the alto notes here. Altos. Come, let us all unite to sing. Now let's do the sopranos and then add the altos. Come, we'll do it twice, sopranos. Come, let us all unite to sing. Now put in the alto. Come, let us Now we got two parts. We have a duet going. Now let's add in the tenor. Tenor will be, come let us all unite to sing. Let's start back with soprano. Let's build on this. Sopranos go first. Come let us all unite to sing. Add in the alto. Come let us put in the tenor. All right, now the sound is getting fuller, isn't it? Now we've got three parts singing. We've got a trio. Now let's add in the bass. The bass is, come let us all unite to sing. Now let's add the sopranos. Come let us all unite to sing. Put in the alto. Come let us all unite to sing. Put in the tenor. Come let us all unite to sing. Basses. I tell you, you get in that bass part there, you feel that fullness. It just really comes together. Let's do that. That's a good job. Let's do now the third verse. How happy is our portion here. God is love. His promises our spirit share. God is love. He is our sign and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way. Our God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. Very good. Going back to the scale, in our workbook, of course, some of you tomorrow, you may have your workbook with you. If you don't, I have some that you can work from. But the scale is a series of 7 tones taken in order, like do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And then if you count the octave, the high do, that becomes 8. But there they are. The do, triangle, re, half circle, mi, the diamond, the fa, and then the sol, la, ti, do. And that's the foundation of all music, is the scale. And it was taken from the Latin word meaning a ladder. So if you look at a ladder and you see the ladder rungs going up, you look at the lines that you see on the music page as they go up. The pitch of your voice goes up. As the notes are coming down, the pitch of your voice goes down. And so you can follow along your part, whether you're singing soprano, alto, tenor, or bass. And so I mentioned on Wednesday night that here's the scale, and here are the singing names that Maria taught the kids in the Sound of Music. And most of you are familiar with it. You can sing them as well. But when she went, do, a deer, a female deer, ray, a drop of golden sun, me, a name I call myself, fa, a long, long way to run, so, a needle pulling thread, la, a note that follows so, tea, a drink with jam and bread. And that brings us back to do, so, mi, re, do, re, mi. And she did that over and over with them. And they finally said, now Maria, what does that mean? What does that mean? She wasn't teaching those kids shape notes. She was teaching them the singing names that were invented back in the 11th century. Those syllables. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And here's what she did. She went, all right, I'll show you. She went, so, do, la, fa, mi, do, re. She said, well, okay, now you put words with that. When you know the notes to sing, so, do, la, ti, do, re, do, you can sing most anything. So she put words with those singing names, and then they began to sing. So that's where all that came from. And so that Doa Deer. I was doing this up in Florence, Alabama years ago, and a girl came up to me, a little girl. She said, well, here's the way we learned it. It wasn't the method that Maria taught in Sound of Music, but at camp, we did it. It's called the Twinkie Song. Twinkie Song, and she wrote it down for me, and I saw it in my notebook tonight. Do, the stuff that makes the Twinkies. Ray, the guy that makes the Twinkies. Me, the guy that eats the Twinkies. Fa, how far I'll go for Twinkies. So, I think I'll have a Twinkie. La, 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 Twinkies. T, no thanks, I'll have a Twinkie. That will bring us back to do. Twinkie, 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 do. I'll tell you something. Years later, after I got that from that girl, that she was about 14 or 15, I was down in Florida doing this type of meeting with a group down there, and I got that out, and I sang that to everyone there, and this little girl came up to me. She said, I'm the one who gave that to you. This was years later, and I don't even remember her name, but I thought that was pretty amazing that she was actually in that audience that night. But anyway, so however you want to learn it, that's fine. If you don't want to call them that, call them whatever. You know, that's fine. But that's the way the singing names came about, or they came about. And I think you'll understand it more as we continue going through our class tonight. The shape notes did come along to the 1800s. And so, and I think you can see why, how important those are, especially to those of us who are singing a cappella without the use of an instrument. And so we've got those to help us. And when I hear people say, the people who have not learned this are going to knock it. I'm telling you, they knock it. Some knock it at me. And I said, what's wrong with them? I said, well, they're just a crutch. And I said, what's wrong with the crutch? I said, you ever criticize anybody that walks around with a crutch, a cane, or use a walker? Why are they using that? Well, to get from here to there. That's what we're doing here. Those shapes are helping us to know how to get from do to fa. Like do, fa, re, la, mi, ti, re, do, so. I mean, I can see those shapes in my head. I can just see those. I can feel it. But those are called intervals, so I know how to get from one to the other without going over to an instrument and doing it. I don't have to do that. I can just look at the note and know what that sound is like. You memorize those intervals just like I did right then. Do, mi, so, re, fa, la. I just do them over and over and over, and that becomes something like you memorize like three blind mice. Or Jesus loves me, this I know. We memorized that, didn't we, as we were growing up. So if people want to knock it, the reason why they're knocking it, they haven't taken time to learn it. And it does take time to do it. Folks, some of you knew my father. I couldn't eat if I didn't do this first thing every day. I did this a lot. I'd hear my dad going down the road, and he'd be singing these intervals all the time, and he had me doing them. And of course, I didn't always like having to do it, but I'm glad I did. I'm glad that I learned it from him. And so I've had more people tell me, matter of fact, down at Fultondale one time, two older ladies came up to me. She said, we know this. I said, how did you learn it, or when did you learn it? She said, we learned it when we were little girls. Because our father, when we come in at night from the field all day, that's what we did at night. There was no TV. But our daddy taught us how to sing these syllables and the shape notes and all that. But again, we don't really sing shape notes. We sing the singing names, the syllables. And I think it came to me when I took a college course in California at a university. I was a music major, and there was a book that we got at the very beginning, and I went into the class, and the professor said, these are all round notes. There were no shape notes. And he said, I want you to come to class on Wednesday. I want you to sing the singing name to these round notes. I'd never done that before. And I went home to my dad. I said, I don't know if I can do this. He said, son, you're going to become the best sight reader, because what you do is you go find the key. If you're in the key of F, you look for that note on that space on F. That's do. And the space above is going to be a me, and the space above is going to be a sol. And if you go over there in the key of E flat, you're that round note on that first line. Because every line in space is identified by a musical letter of the musical alphabet. And so some of you know that already. So anyway, he was right. And I began to think about this. And when we were out in, Vicki and I were out in Arizona and Phoenix one time, a lady came up and she complained about this method of the do, re, mi, fa method. And Vicki said, oh, you must have grew up playing the piano. And you played by position. She said, right, I did. And when we got in the car and drove back to our hotel, I sat down that night and I started working on this slide. And I said, okay, let's look at it. We're in the key of C. There's no flats, no sharps, automatic key of C. But every line is identified by a letter from the musical alphabet. And so we put a round note right there on C and one on E and one on G and one on C. And then in the 11th century, those round notes, you could either go like this. You could call it C E G C, or you could sing Do Mi So Do. But in 1801, somebody said, you know what? We're going to call it by this. We're still going to call it a do, but we're going to have a shape next to it, and that's what a do is going to look like, and a mi and a sol and a do. And again, I think you'll see more about why that method came up as we continue on here. I call this the floating major scale, because the reason why I say floating is that look at where do is right here. It's on C. So I want you to sing with me the letters. C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. See, they're all hitting a line or space that is a letter from the musical alphabet right over here. Here's line E, G, B, D, F, F, A, C, E. And then we could go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Or Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do. We have a lot of songs that are in the key of C. But look where Do is. Now look where it's getting ready to go. Oh, it's up here now. Now we're in the key of F. Remember what I said last night about the football on the field? No one knows where to line up on the football field. The offense, defense, no one knows until you put the ball down. Put the ball down on the 20, then the offense knows where to go. And you know what? The center, we know where he's going to be. We know where the quarterback's going to be. And your other positions on that offense, you know where. And you look out there. I think you all know a little bit about football here, I think. Okay, but anyway, no one knows where to line up. And you know what? That ball doesn't stay on the 20. It moves, doesn't it? And everybody has to kind of line up wherever that ball goes. Well, do is the same way. When you see do up here instead of down here, do, now our do sounds like this. Do. All right, you see F, G, A, B flat, C, D, E, F. Pretty high, isn't it? One. Okay, I won't torture you any more than that. All right. Then look where it's going to go now. We're now in the key of G. We sang a lot of songs last night in the key of G. Do. So like hallelujah, praise Jehovah. That's in the key of G. But now look where do is. It's right here. But here's the important thing. Everything is relative. It's related to do. So do, what's a re going to sound like? Re. What's a mi going to sound like? Mi. What's a do going to sound like? No, do. Good. That came from somebody very small here. Okay. Excellent. Good job. What's wrong with the rest of you? Okay. But anyway, that's it. You get dough on your head and everything relates to dough. And so anyway, let's keep moving. He gave me a song, number 664. And what I've done is I've taken this out of the workbook, the bottom part here of the slide. And I want you to notice something here. Up in the top left-hand corner, if you're wondering what key we're in and you haven't figured it out with all those flats or sharps, in this hymn book, you can look up there and say, it's a key of C. That means it's going to sound like this, the key. That's C, that's Do. That's where I'm going first, is Do. All right, now you see that? Now look down here, the C major scale. C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do. But let's go back up with this little rectangle here. Key of C. Now that four has to do with the four beat, remember? But it says the starting position for the song leader, you have to go up to a Mi. So here we are on a Do. Do. Me, that look at the scale. Do me. There's a soprano note right there. Me, he took my burdens all away. That's the pitch we're going to be on. If I don't get up there and I stay down on that, if I just stay down here on the do, do, he took my burdens all away up to a brighter day. What's wrong? It's too low, isn't it? It's going to make it hard on the basses and the altos. But by going, do, me. Now let's do that now. Let's sing it and we'll keep singing. Do, me, so tenor. He took my burdens all away up to a brighter. He gave me a song, a wonderful song, a wonderful song I now can sing. And my heart joy bells. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. He gave me a song to sing about. He lifted me from sin and death. Oh, praise His name. He is my King. A wonderful song He is to me. Now, on that last note, as a song leader, I'm going to go ahead and beat that out. He is to me. I'm doing that because the altos are moving, the tenors are moving, they're going, he is to me. I'm doing that for the benefit of leading those that are singing that part right here. Let's do that right there. He is to me. Come out stronger on the bass, tenor, and alto. He is to me. That's why I'm beating that out when to help those that are moving. And I don't want to cut off too early. Let's do it again and let me show you what happens sometimes when a song leader cuts off too quick. Y'all keep singing though. All right. He is to me. I see y'all are still trying to end the song, aren't you? I've seen song leaders go right back into verse 2 or verse 3 and they jump ahead. You gotta wait till you get those other parts in before you go back in the next verse. Do it with me. He is to me. Then you go back in the next verse. Just thought about that while we were doing it. Here's a song that, now this song is not in your hymnal. Now we found one a while ago. What was it called? How Deep?
How Deep is Love.
How Deep is Love. Yeah. That's a different song than this one. That's a really good one. And especially good because we know who wrote it. Huey wrote that one. All right, I should have put that in there. Didn't think about it. But how deep the Father's love. Now we're looking at the key of F. All right, now look up here. Key of F. Do is on F on this. Do. And there's our F major scale. All right, F, G, A, B flat, C, D, E, F. And then Do, Re, Mi. And we go off like that. But now look at the Do. Our starting note is right there. Do, ha, and here it is in the scale, right there. There's that note, right from the scale. So how many of you know this song? Okay, quite a few. Good. Do, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wreck His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man up on the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. I want to go back here and point out something. At the very beginning, this song is filled with fermatas or bird's eyes. And we got to the end of line one and line two. But I will not boast in anything. When you're beating the four-beat pattern, or even three-beat pattern, when you have a fermata, you go, I will not boast in anything. I'm hitting thing on beat three. Beat three, but I'm going to hold it. Where's beat four? It's coming up on the next line. So I'm going to go out here. Anything. And then I'm going to cut off. And then I'll be able to sweep up. No gifts. In other words, if I go in instead of out, anything, no gifts. If I was beating it the opposite way, is that when I go up, it's like I'm backhanding the audience. It doesn't look real kind to me. It doesn't. It's more of a sweeping up. And so, but so when you get to the end of Ramada, you want to cut off in the direction that your beat pattern is moving. The beat pattern here is going down, in, out, up. So, anything. You don't want to go too far out because you have nowhere to go. So you want to stop. Anything. No gifts. So that's kind of a cutoff right there. Here's the thing about it. You might have noticed that when we get to the end of the first line of the next slide, it's Jesus Christ. We were also making that a fermata. I sort of do that anyway. Do you do that, Jim, when you kind of get to the end of that?
Yeah, because what happens is there's another hymnal that has this written not in 4-4, but in 2-2, so that the fermatas are almost built in. and people are used to singing it like that, and so they hold it here.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons. And it's almost just natural holding it.
There's sometimes it just kind of cries out for that way. And when I first led it, the first time I was leading up in Huntsville, and I was so determined to just keep it with the beat, like, Jesus Christ is death. I just kept it flowing. But people who've learned a different way, they don't want to do that. And so I'm going to go with those and not cause a what? Distraction. And what is distraction in our worship? It's an enemy. It's an enemy of our worship. So I think what Jim is saying, it does cry out. It just kind of, I sort of lead this sometimes almost like, just let it flow. It flows on its own. It doesn't really need any help from me. You know, I don't want to over direct it. Sometimes we can kind of over direct a song. All right, let me move on to another. Have y'all heard of this song? It's in our hymn book, Something Worth Living For. I love this song. And I led it back home and I introduced it back home and people said, where's that song found? I said, look in your book rack. It's been there for years. We never did get around to it. So here, this is a beautiful song here, but key of F, again, we're going to start on me. So here we are. Do, alto, basses, do, mi, soprano, sol, tenor, mi. Life was shattered and hope was gone. Crushing the load that I bore. Then out of the depth I cried, oh God, please give me something worth living for. Something more than my yesterdays, more than I had before. Something more than wealth or fame, he gave me something worth living for. Oh, the joy of sins forgive, nothing the same as before. My life overflowed since Jesus came and gave me something worth living for. Something more than my yesterdays, more than I had before. Something more than wealth or fame, he gave me something worth living for. All right, we'll go back and show something here. When we got to the end of the bottom line there, here's where the beat pattern, again, I hear people want to knock the beat pattern, like, well, we don't know why we have to do that. Well, here's, again, go back to the beat pattern. We're in what kind of beat pattern? 3-beat pattern. That last word there, do, mi, fa, before. How many beats are we going to hold that? It's tied over to the next measure. 5 beats. So here's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. There's, that makes 5. Right? 3 plus 2 makes 5. So it's tied over. Okay. As before. That's telling me that I got a note coming up here on the next slide that's going to be on that beat 3. So I got to keep moving here. So here goes. As before. My life overflows since Jesus came and gave me something worth living. Okay, now, how long are we going to hold this note out coming up at the end? How many beats now? 6 beats. So it's going through that beat pattern twice. rather than me going up here and trying to guess at it, living for, I could be holding it 5 or 7, but that beat pattern is telling you when to get off the note. So that's the whole idea of really learning that beat pattern. It's very valuable in our leading. And gave me something worth living. Okay. For something more than my yesterdays, more than I had before. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Something more than wealth or fame. He gave me something worth living for. Or just hold it out there with just a living for. No one's moving in that on that last note. Everybody's holding the note, same note. Not the same note, but they're holding out for the same length of time. So I usually on the final note, I get that hand up here where everybody can see it for a good cutoff. The cutoff is important as the beginning. So, living for, I may hold it 7 or 8 beats. I mean, I'm going to hold it out. And I'm really kind of watching for people to get their eyes off of that screen to my hand. Because this is the way I communicate with people. You know, it's another thing. I'd probably bring it out again tomorrow, but I'll do it now because I may forget. But that's the way that we as leaders are able to communicate. I don't have to get up in front of people, in front of the assembly, and do a lot of talking. Sometimes that can become a what? Distraction. You get to talking too much, and then you take a lot away from what we're doing. But the hand, I can get people to sing softly. I can get them to sing louder just through my motions of my hand, my beating time. It's taken me a long time to just figure that out, but I've kind of learned that really does help. I'm going to go on past this and move on to another song. Do y'all know Just As I Am, I Come Broken? It's kind of new to some of you, maybe. But anyway, it's in the key of B flat, and here's our, looking at our song here, there's our do, that's a high do, do, so mi do. Sing that with me. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. All right, let's just sing this song here. Yeah, the first part of it, you'll be most of them be familiar with, but there's another part that comes in. And so, do, everybody's on do except tenors. Do, mi. Just as I am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse this spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I come broken to be mended, I come wounded to be healed, I come desperate to be rescued,
I come
empty to be filled, I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb, and I'm welcome with open arms. Praise God,
just as I am.
Now, when we go into the third and final verse, sopranos start off, and then the altos come in, and then the tenors and the basses. Let's go back now to sopranos. Do, 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 so mi, do, soprano. Just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace my freedom bought, and now to glory in thy cross, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I come broken to be mended, I come wounded to be healed, I come desperate to be rescued, I come empty to be filled, I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Praise God, just as I am. Very good. Very good. Yeah, Jim. Sure have. I'm glad you were watching. The tenors are not moving around like they were. There are three other arrangements I know about, and I had trouble with the first one because it had a key, it modulated. And it was a train wreck where I heard it being done in one place, and people got all messed up with it. It modulated into another key, and it was a distraction. Everything kind of went down the tube. And then I heard another arrangement, and I thought, I don't like the tenor in that. It didn't sound right. And then I heard a third one, and then finally this one here, I started working with Dane Shepherd. He and I started working on it, and this is my favorite. And it may not be yours because you've let another arrangement.
No, problem. Because you took the high notes out of the tenor.
That's why I didn't like it. you know what? No, it was maybe when I heard it being sung, the tenors were off. Maybe they were just not really hitting that note. It was really high for them. And but anyway, I prefer this one. That's just my preference. And y'all remember Sound of the Battle Cry? Remember that? It's an old song from way, way back. Y'all remember that? Some of you do? All right. Let's just sing. Do, so, so, soprano, mi, alto, do, bass. Mi, so, do, tenor. See, there's those starting notes right there. We're going to start right here. Do, so, sound the battle cry. See, the foe is nigh. Rouse the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon His holy word. Rouse in soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call, help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Roused in soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. I mean, I grew up on that song from way, way back. And by the way, Jim mentioned a while ago about another arrangement. of that previous song we did, Just As I Am, I Come Broken. We still have that available. This is just an option that you can, when I know Daniel has ordered some songs off of our website, and the one you're talking about is number 603. The one I did a while ago is 603A. There's the difference between. So if you're ever looking at that.
So when we update our hymnal, it's not actually going to change.
No, you'll keep what you have.
Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't take that away from you. You have the option of which one you want to use. I'm gonna move to one final thing here, but I like to keep this to the around an hour of our time. But I want to take you to what I believe. And Dan, you may be able to do this quicker, but I want to go over to D flat. I'm getting there. I want to go over here to where there's five flats. And I want to show you why this has to be the reason why they came up with the singing names of Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do in the 11th century. Here's what I believe this to be true. This song is in the key of D flat. See all these flats right here? There's five of them. That one's on line B, which is B flat. That's E flat. That's A flat. That's D flat. And that is G flat. Now look down here at this D flat scale. Now do this with me. Let's see how well we do with this. D, all right, ready? D flat, E flat, F, G flat, A flat, B flat, C, D flat. Now when we were in the key of C a while ago, there were no sharps or flats. We had C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C, Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do. But now we're in a key that's five flats. D flat, E flat, F, G flat, A flat, B flat, C, D flat. And then Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do. So whatever key we're in, you don't have to worry about all those flats and sharps. You just sing Do, Re, Mi, whatever key we're in. Now, let me do this with me. Let me give you another key. Key of E flat. I'm not going to have you sing E flat, but I'm going to go Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do. Do, Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do. That's the key of C. Here's the key of D that we did God is Love a while ago. Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do. Here's the key of D flat. Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do. Everything relates to Do. So the interval between Do and Re is the same interval. It's a different pitch, but it's the same interval. It's one full step. It's Do, Re. When I say full step, that means I can put a note in between. Do, Di, Re. That would get into what they call the chromatic scale. But Do, Re. And Re to me is a full step. That means I can put a note in between Re and me. Re, Re, Mi. But between Mi and Fa, that diamond shape, Mi, Fa, you can't put a note in between. Mi, Fa. It's a half step. So all these are half step increments, but yet between Do and Re, it's full step. Re to Mi is full step. Mi to Fa is a half step. And so, anyway, that's just something that I wanted to share with you. I had another thought and it just went out my head. So that's why that the Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti method was put together, because getting all these different keys. Well, why should we have so many keys? I have people ask me sometimes, why isn't everything written in the same key? Put that on my hand. Okay, that shook me up. Now what? People say, "How come not all? Why can't we have everything in the same key?" What do you think? What would that be like? It'd be boring to have everything in the same key. But sometimes, though, why do you think we have all these keys? When somebody, huh? Yeah, when someone comes up with a melody, and they want to do a certain thing with the melody, and has to get up really high. And all that, and they want to go kind of low, they have to find the key that's going to create all four parts. So all four parts can sing. That's the whole point. It's so that all four parts can sing. Go ahead. Give your hand up. Oh, okay. All right. So let me see what else I have here next. Okay. And then let me just point out one thing. Here, we'll do this for closing song. We're marching to Zion. Fast or slow? It's going to be upbeat, isn't it? It's going to be an upbeat song. Why? Why do you believe it's going to be more upbeat? Just look at the title. It's marching. We're marching. We're not, like I said last night, we're not crawling. We're marching. And you want to, but a lot of times people sing like they're crawling instead of marching. So let's stand for this as our closing song. And then Brother Jim will lead us in a closing prayer. And Lord willing, we'll be back in the morning at 9:30 with song leaders. And if anybody else wants to come and listen to what we're doing, that's fine as well. And then back tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And we'll continue what we're doing tonight on into tomorrow evening. So let's end with this and have our closing prayer. Do, bass is do, soprano do, so, alto, do, mi, tenor, mi, do. Come with that, love the Lord, and let our joy be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Did you?